Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey everybody, good morning. My name is Matt Kladnick. Welcome to Vintage Faith. Super excited to have you with us today. And as Debbie said earlier, some of you are in person today. So pretty soon you'll be in the room that I'm in and we'll get to watch this together. And some of you are enjoying from home or wherever you may be online. And that's so awesome too. So don't you love technology? Things like this just enable our church to reach further than we could have ever imagined. So good to be with you guys today. Here's a little quiz for you. We're going to start off with a quiz. Did you ever go into school, like high school, and you sit down and the teacher's like, pop quiz? Oh yeah, so terrifying. I'm such a bad test taker. Go ahead, just raise your hand in the comment section. Just give us a little shout out. If you are a bad test taker, if you're here in person, just wave your hands up in the air like you don't care, because there's a lot of bad test takers in the room. But I'm a bad test taker. So here is a quiz for you. At the end of every single Vintage Faith church service, we say three very important words as we commission you into your week, okay? And if you are online, go ahead and guess what those three words may be. Maybe think about what are those three words we say as we commission you at the end of every service. So if you're online, type those in the comment section. If you are here in person with me right now, go ahead and say it out loud on the count of three. One, two, three. There's a hint for you right there. Okay, it's on my shirt. Be the church. Yeah, this is our rally cry. We close every service. Maybe you've been aware of this or maybe you haven't. It's not always like a really obvious thing, but we close every service by saying, be the church. And this is super, super important. This is more than just something we just say like as a slogan to kind of wrap up the service. But for me, and for anyone that says, be the church at Vintage Faith, what we are really saying is I want you to embody the good things you just heard, embody the transformation that God is doing in life, and take it with you as you go. Because the church isn't just a gathering of people in a safe little building or on your couch on a Sunday. The church is God's people on mission all week long. So when we say the church, we are saying embody the goodness of God as you go. You know, church isn't a place. No, it isn't. Church isn't a place. It's a people. And it's a people that are on mission to reflect God's love to the world. You know, we hope that you enjoy the activities of our church, but more than that, we hope that your life is transformed so much so that it changes how you live on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we get together to celebrate all that God has done, and we get a chance to pause and learn and reflect and get filled up afresh to move into all the promises that He has for us in our next week. You know, success for us at Vintage Faith, it isn't a really good Sunday show. Success for us isn't an epic Sunday. But actually, success for us are the stories that we hear all week long about how people are being obedient and faithful to what God has for them in their week, in their workplace and in their family, at home, wherever they may be. Over the next 6 weeks, well, seven including today, we're going to be taking a look at some scriptures in the Bible that talk to us about what the church is, and hopefully we can clear up what the church is and what the church isn't. And this is something I think about a lot. Maybe I think about it too much, about what is the church? Really, really, what is the church? You know, we don't want to do church as we want it. We want to do church as God intended it to be. And this is the challenge, that we would do church in a way that makes us comfortable and happy, but is not faithful to what God wants the church to be. And I think this is a great season of life for our church and many of the churches in our nation, that we get to kind of pivot a little bit. We get to have a little bit of a more meaningful conversation about who do we really want to be? Like, what kind of family, what kind of community really are we? And how can we structure ourselves in ways that can accomplish the unique mission that God has for us? And that's a conversation we've been having for a long time. And I think in these next couple months, we're going to start seeing what this really looks like for us. This pandemic has given new meaning to the phrase, be the church. Because we've been saying be the church from day one of the pandemic. And it is this, is because our church never shut down. We just started refocusing. We started pivoting. We started changing how we do things. For us, church never stopped. There's no need for us to reopen. We have just been active in new and different ways. So for us, church has never closed. We've just been focusing on some different things over this last year. The book of Acts introduces us to the infant church, freshly brought into the world. And I think we can learn a lot about the birthday of the church from its infancy. And I think there are some principles that we read about in Scripture about what the church was right as it was born that would be really meaningful for us today, 2,000 years removed from the church's birthday. So we're going to spend some time today and actually over the next 6 weeks looking at the book of Acts. And so if you've got a Bible, you may want to turn in there to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read a scripture for you in just 1 second here. When we look at the newly born church in Acts, we see it in its rawest form, its most infant form. And I think actually the name Vintage Faith, our church, it comes from this idea that we want to return. We don't want to be doing a brand new thing. We actually want to return to some of the unique principles that guided the early church. We want to live those things out freshly today. And so what we learn about in the church is that there's some things that the church did 2,000 years ago that if we boil it down to a principle, man, we can live in those principles because principles are timeless. The strategies, they change, but the principles are timeless. So we're going to do the hard work over the next couple of weeks here of discovering some of the principles that made the church vibrant and alive and such a revolutionary kind of thing. And how can we live out those principles today? Again, these aren't programs. These aren't strategies. These aren't meetings. These aren't gatherings that we're talking about. The principles that we're going to learn about are things that you and I embody because we are the church. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, let me read it for you. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. This was the birth of the church, this day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit came and filled up these Jesus followers in such a terrific way that the church rushed out of the upper room and started impacting the city right away. And there are a couple things here that are really interesting to me. In just these 6 verses we read, there are just 3 things here that jump out to me that are super important. And actually, we can't miss these. And I would say that as a church, if we don't embody these 3 values, then we are a far cry from what the early church was. And there's going to need to be a correction that takes place in us. But I actually think that as we talk about these 3 things, you're going to probably say to yourself, oh man, this is totally us. And that's good news. So let me talk about 3 things really quick. Okay, number one. They were together. They were together. Number one, they were together. It says in the scripture that they were together in one place. You know, Jesus made lots of promises and lots of claims. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was risen from the grave. We just celebrated Easter. And then he spent time with his disciples. And then he ascended up to heaven until his second coming. But from its inception, the church had been vibrant because its people have chosen to unite when things get difficult. Now, just put yourself in the shoes of some of these Jesus followers. Everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and all of a sudden, they are just left wondering, what next? And instead of dispersing in this moment, instead of running and all being about their own unique things, they chose to rally together. They chose to be together. They were united in heart and they were united in purpose. And this is a beautiful component of the church. A church is a group of people who choose to be together when things are good and when things are bad. Number two, miraculous things took place in their midst. Miraculous things took place in their midst. And it says, and divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the disciples are together, as they are in the upper room, as they're waiting and as they are praying, something significant happened, something miraculous happened, something amazing happened. As they prayed and waited, they were expecting something to happen, and something did happen. A miracle took place, and we could get way into what happened in that moment when the tongues of fire came upon them, but what we can probably say is just an overarching statement. A miracle took place. Something amazing, a sign, a wonder took place in their midst as they gathered, as they tarried, as they waited in prayer. Something miraculous took place. See, the gathering of God's people is served a purpose. When we gather together, when we knit our hearts together, when we pursue and chase after God together, miraculous things take place in our midst. There's something beautiful about God coming and meeting us and doing the miraculous things in our midst. And when we come together, it is like the ingredients come together to make a miraculous moment, a moment that could be a sign and a wonder to us and to the world around us. Number three, they moved out into the questions. They moved out into the questions. I love this. It says this, and at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So the tongues of fire fell. Everyone is speaking in different tongues. People outside the upper room, they're outside, hear them as if they are hearing their own language. And remember, people are here and they are in Jerusalem from all over the place. Literally, the nations are arriving in Jerusalem and they hear a familiar sound. They hear their own language. And not only do they hear their own language, which would have been odd, they hear their own language declaring praises to God. So a massive group of people comes together. And I think there's something here that's super interesting that we've got to hold on to. When the crowd outside gets curious, when the crowd outside has questions, when the crowd outside has concerns, this is what Peter doesn't do. Peter doesn't go to the door and open it up and say, I know you are curious. I know you have questions. I know you have concerns. So come on into the room. Come on in. Come on in and we're going to tell you all about it. That's not what Peter did. This is what Peter did. And this is really, 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 really important for you to hear, Vintage Faith. Peter doesn't invite them into his safe space. Peter goes into their questions. Peter leans into the community. And this is big for us, church. As a world around us is curious, has questions, and has concerns, we don't do church in such a way that this is a safe place for them to come. We are compelled to go to where they are to meet them in their questions, to meet them in their concerns, to meet them in their chaos. God's people were never meant to find safety in a building. We were meant to find safety being obedient to the mission that God has for us. Peter, who messed up so many things, when given the opportunity to do right, and he had done wrong, chooses to do right. And in doing right, he steps into a very, very crazy situation, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. He meets them right where they are. So as a church, we can't just sit here thinking we're really cozy and comfortable inside, and I bet the outside world is going to realize how great it is in here, and they're going to want to come inside with their questions and concerns. No, we are equipped in his presence to go out to show and reflect his goodness to the world. We can't reflect his goodness to broken people if we aren't around broken people. So that is such an important part that I see in that story, is we've got to lean into where people are, lean into their questions. So the question for us is, what was the church like 2,000 years ago? What was the church like 2,000 years ago? What principles made it so vibrant? How can we embody what the church is today? These are questions for us. Fortunately, Luke jots down some answers for us in the book of Acts, describing these principles that made the church so wonderful. So we looked at the birth of the church. Now we're going to look at what Luke described as the guiding principles that made the church so vibrant. So let me read this to you. Acts chapter 2, 42. And they've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So I want you to listen very carefully. As I read this, I want you to pick up on some of these words that describe the church that makes your heart come alive, okay? I want you to listen, and as these things come up, and you think, oh, that's so great that the church is that. I want you to make mention. I want you to make note of those things. Okay, so start over. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So when I read that description of the early church, man, something inside of me just leaps. Like, I want that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of all those great things. So many beautiful things that, like, I want to give my life to that. Those of you that are online, we just read this description of the church, and I would love to hear from you. So if you're online right now, I would love for you to comment in the comment section, what in that list in Acts chapter 2, what in that list most like just makes your heart come alive? Like hearing that a church would be about this makes your heart come alive. Go ahead and comment in the comment section. And for those of you that are in person today, we're just going to pause, and I would love to hear you just yell it out loud. What part of this description of the church makes your heart come alive? And so share with everyone just for a second here, okay? There you go, good. Here we learn some really important principles that defined the early church, and they should define us too. Here's a list that I got from the Acts chapter 2 right there, and it was this. Learning, fellowship, eating. How good is eating? Learning, fellowship, eating, praying, signs and wonders, generosity, favor, and growth. These are some of the words that Luke uses to describe what this early church is. And these principles are like ingredients. These principles that we read out in the book of Acts, they're like ingredients that when they all come together, they build something really, really beautiful. And in just a second, I want to show you with my helper here a little picture, a little illustration of what does it look like when these principles, these ingredients all come together and it develops and turns into something beautiful. And you'll see here in a second, something yummy as well. Enjoy. Ta-da! Well, here we are, and to illustrate what we're talking about this morning, I'm going to introduce you to a special tradition in the Kladnik household where we make homemade pizzas, and we do this about once every 2 weeks or so, and it's a fun thing for Grace and I to do with the kiddos. So to illustrate what the church is, we're going to use an illustration of a pizza. So I would like to introduce you to my sous chef. Her name is Polly Ray Kladnik. She is 9 years old. She loves walks on the beaches, and she loves her dog, Ozzy. Anything else we need to know about you?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll probably learn some more stuff as we go. So there you go. Okay. So first thing we need to do is we have our dough all ready to go. And usually when we make a pizza at home, we say, Alexa, play Italian cooking playlist, right? Yeah. And so if you have an Alexa at home, maybe an Italian song to start playing, but enjoy the background music as we go. So to illustrate what the church is and how the ingredients, how the principles of the church come together to make something really beautiful, we're using all the different ingredients we have in front of us to make a pizza. So kids, get your stuff out that Miss B told you about earlier, and you're going to be labeling your different ingredients as I go. So have your ingredients out in front of you. It's not going to be as yummy as what we're looking at, but you can write on your pieces of paper these different words. I'm going to tell you what they are. So first things first is we have our ingredient number one, and this is our dough. Does it smell good? That doesn't smell. It smells very doughish. And our dough represents the first word that you're going to want to write on your cards there, kiddos. It is the word growth. And what I want to say about growth is this is that healthy things grow. And this dough, all of our ingredients brought to you by Trader Joe's, but this dough, if you leave it out, it'll actually rise as you let it sit. And so this is a picture of what the church is. The church should be a growing thing, a rising kind of thing. Does that work? I know. Good job. Good idea. because healthy things grow, and so healthy churches should be growing as well. Ingredient number two, Polly, sous chef, you have some work to do here, okay? Don't get too messy here. But ingredient number two is sauce. And the sauce, kids, write this on your paper, represents prayer. Can you go ahead and start putting some sauce on our pizza here? With that spoon, go ahead. Don't get your sleeves in it. But the sauce represents prayer. And as we read in the scripture earlier, that the church dedicated themselves, devoted themselves to prayer. And this is really, really important. And I think when we look about how this pizza illustrates the church, the sauce covers everything. And in a similar way, prayer should be covering everything in our lives too. And if you've experienced this before, have you prayed with someone before? And you've noticed how when you pray together, it unites your heart with somebody else. And so in the church, prayer plays an important role in who we are because prayer unites us, prayer brings us together. Prayer should cover everything. And you're doing a terrific job. Maybe a little more there. I like it. Saucy. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Samesies? Oh my gosh. You're my child. Okay. Ingredient number three. You ready to move on to the next ingredient? Ingredient number three is cheese. Can you sample the cheese for us? Just see if it's okay for us. Ingredient number three is cheese. Kiddos, write on your little piece of paper there the word learning, okay? So learning, the cheese represents learning. Go ahead and give us a good layer of cheese on that pizza. Cheese, as you'll see in pizza, it holds everything together, right? Cheese keeps the toppings on, okay? If you've ever made a pizza without cheese, then your toppings just fall to the side. And learning is an important part of the church. And actually, when you look at all the descriptions of what the church is through the New Testament, one of the most common words to describe what the church is a place of learning. I hope this may be new information for you too. But when the church is at its best, it is at a place of learning. It is a place of gathering new information. And much like a pizza, the cheese holds everything together, and so does learning. Learning holds us all together too. Ingredient number four is this. Ingredient number four is my favorite ingredient of all of the ingredients. It is pepperoni. Go ahead, give us a good layer of pepperoni on that pizza there. Pepperoni. And pepperoni represents generosity. And the reason I chose pepperoni to be our picture of generosity is I don't think I've ever had a pizza with too much pepperoni on it, right? We love pepperoni in our house. Yeah, great. Polly already ate some of our pepperoni before we made the pizza. But pepperoni represents generosity because you can never have enough pepperoni. And as a church, we must be a generous people. It is without question, oh, you used all of it, way to go. Without question, the church must be a place where generosity is alive and vibrant and really, really obvious. The church is a place of generosity and giving, and it is represented by a pepperoni. Oh, this is looking so good. It's even smelling good. Okay, ingredient number five. You're doing terrific. Ingredient number five, what is this, Polly? Pineapple. I know, don't hate. Send your emails to polly@vffchurch.com. You don't have an email address. But pineapple is our fifth ingredient. And the pineapple, kiddos, write this one down. It represents signs and wonders. Go ahead and put some pineapple. Signs and wonders. I know. And I chose pineapple to represent signs and wonders because there is probably not a more divisive topping for pizza than pineapple. And there probably isn't a more divisive subject for church life than signs and wonders. But what is very clear in the scriptures we read before, and some of those that we're going to be looking at in the next coming weeks, is that signs and wonders is a very integral part of what the church really is. The church, oh, that's terrific. The church is a place where signs and wonders abound. And I can't wait to hear more about signs and wonders. Oh, good job. You couldn't resist, could you? Where signs and wonders are. So here we go. We have our dough, our sauce, our cheese, our pepperoni, our pineapple. And our last ingredient that is on our pizza is some jalapenos.
Yeah, spicy.
A spicy jalapeno business, right?
Can you eat one?
No, I'm not gonna. You eat one. No. I dare you.
No.
Do it.
No.
Just one.
I'll take a bite.
Oh, you will? That's not a bite. That didn't count. Okay, I have some jalapenos here. You're like, not a fan? Okay.
I just dig my teeth into it.
Yeah, it was hot, huh? Okay, good. So ingredient number six is jalapenos. Mm-hmm. And jalapenos, I couldn't think of any way to relate these to the pizza in any meaningful way. So jalapenos, they're spicy, kind of like fellowship. So that's the word for jalapenos is fellowship, togetherness. Maybe you want to think of jalapenos. Jalapenos give you bad breath, and it makes it, you don't want to talk right in somebody's face after eating a jalapeno. You're like, oh, gross. What did you eat? Well, the church centers around this idea of being together and being comfortable with being close enough together. The church was formed this way, that it wasn't a whole bunch of people off being busy about all sorts of different things, but the church united. Fellowship, togetherness was an integral part. And I actually think that the reason the church grew like it did at its infancy was because there was this beautiful picture of a family that looked so welcoming. People wanted to draw close, kind of like not having jalapenos in their breath. But anyways, can you just put a couple on there? Not too many. Don't get too crazy.
How about I'll put like one, two, three.
Four is all we could handle of jalapenos. So thank you, sous chef. You did a terrific job. Well, here is our pizza, our final product. And this pizza represents what the church is. It's different ingredients, all coming together, all helping out one another to form something really beautiful, really yummy. So six different ingredients, six different principles representing what the church is, and we should be able to enjoy it. So let's go. Put it in the oven, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. So the pizza is ready, and did it turn out good?
Oh,
it
yeah.
Smells so good. Here's a good look at it. Oh, it looks glorious. So here is the final product. Six different ingredients, yep. All coming together to make something really delicious. Much like the church, when we take these six different principles and they all make themselves obvious in plain sight, the church becomes beautiful and the church becomes yummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't eat it.
We're going to eat it in just a second. Hold on. So the next time you eat pizza, and actually we're going to eat pizza in a second, but the next time you eat pizza, and you're probably actually ordering pizza for lunch or dinner today after seeing all this go on. The next time you eat pizza, I want you to be reminded that the pizza is a picture of what the church really is. And it's this beautiful picture, this delicious picture, this combination of ingredients and principles. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to learn about each of these principles in more detail. And I can't wait to have Pastor Derek preaching, Pastor Hillary preaching. It's going to be super exciting to hear from all these different people. And I want to remind us that these principles are not just ministries of the church. These aren't events you go to. These are principles that you and I embody because we need to be the church. So God is building his church in our midst, and it's not made out of stucco, steel, lumber, and other materials. But he is building his church not out of these things, but he is building his church out of these principles. He's building his church out of you and me, using our gifts and our talents to reflect his goodness to the world. So I think it's time that we should have a bite. You want to say, be the church with me?
All right.
Okay, one, two, three.
Be the church.
Way to go. Okay.